Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching on the book of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There have been roses since we have been on this planet. But the wild roses in Europe, while all different colors and quite beautiful, would only bloom once a year. And so for most of the months, you would be looking at a bunch of ugly green canes with thorns. No flowers. But then some botanists in the late 18th century began experimenting by grafting the Chinese wild rose, which was only green but bloomed all summer, with the European rose. After a bunch of testing, they created what we know to be the modern rose, which blooms from June through October, not only in green, but in a myriad of colors. So roses, as we know them, are really a modern invention. And because of the grafting of the wild Chinese rose with the roses of Europe, we have this stronger, much more beautiful flower than we ever had before. In today's gospel text, Jesus speaks of himself as a vine, and those who abide in him as the branches. We believers are grafted onto Jesus. We become a part of him. He lives and abides in us, and we live and abide in him. My first point, what does it mean to abide in Christ? How do we know if we are abiding in Christ? Branches abide on the vine. Jesus is the true vine. To abide in Christ is to stay connected, to be nurtured. To abide is to receive everything, to receive life itself. We are connected with, nurtured, and receive life itself from Jesus, our vine. Jesus gives us all we need moment by moment. John 14, verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." The many mansions mentioned above are actually abiding places. In the same chapter, verse 23, Jesus says, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." That is, to abide with him. And verse 17, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." He will abide with you. It is an image of profound dependence, profound reliance. Those disciples familiar with the Hebrew scriptures would easily remember that the symbol of the vine has historically represented Israel. For example, Psalm 80, verses 7 through 11. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. This theme also shows up as the writings of some of the prophets. And now as Jesus speaks, he calls himself the vine, a very bold claim. Israel had been the vine established by God, the owner of the vineyard. But they had no longer fit for that title. They had strayed repeatedly, deserting the vineyard of God. Jesus, a direct descendant of Jacob, whose name had been changed by God to Israel, Jesus was sent by the Father to be the true vine. Israel's relationship with God was to be reestablished through Jesus. My second point comes in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Bearing fruit is what branches do. And if we abide in Jesus, we will bear much fruit. Fruit bearing is mentioned 6 times in 7 verses, so it must be quite important to God. So what is this fruit? Well, again, we turn to Scripture for the answer. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The word fruit, or a variation of it, appears 55 times in the New Testament. In Matthew 3 and Luke 13, we have repentance. In Matthew 7 and Colossians 1, it is practicing the truth. In today's text, verses 7 and 8 give us answered prayer. In Romans 15, it is an offering of money given by believers. In Romans 1, it is Christ-like character and winning unbelievers to Christ. The fruit of a believer is another believer. It can be praying to God for his goodwill to be done in our lives. When branches bear fruit, God the Father is glorified, and we prove to be Jesus' disciples. Bearing fruit flows from abiding in Christ. My third point is found in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. God does not carry dead weight. God put each of us here for a specific purpose. All of us are to love as God loves us. We are to exemplify God's love to those who do not know it. As his disciples, we are to share our knowledge about him, which is hard to do if we haven't taken the time to study him and learn his ways. In other words, our life in Christ is supposed to bear fruit. Bearing fruit flows from abiding in Christ. Verse 2 is a warning that God does not tolerate those who are Christians in name only. We must walk the talk. There should be some evidence to convict us of being a Christian. In addition, we must take care to not omit the second half of that verse. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The word prune here means to remove or to cleanse. This power of the word to prune or cut is confessed well in Hebrews 4, verse 12. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When a Christian takes a baby step toward producing fruit, God will fine-tune her, will test her, will push her to take the next step. To produce more fruit, in other words, to grow in his or her faith. He will cleanse you of whatever is standing in the way. Do you need to spend less time on Facebook, playing games, watching television? Do you hang out at work even when you do not need to? What unhealthy habits, routines, or relationships need to be pruned from your life for you to produce fruit for God? How does God help us to produce fruit? Well, first, God puts a hunger in your heart for his word. So you start reading the Bible. Next, let's say you start discussing what you are learning with another Christian. Once that starts to feel comfortable, God will put opportunities in your path for you to share what you have learned with non-believers. When you're comfortable with that, he may ask someone to ask you to lead a Bible study, lead a class at a Christian retreat, volunteer at a crisis pregnancy center, or maybe be an advocate for a child in the court system. God will not settle for a faith that produces no fruit. He will not settle for occasional token fruit either. The gospel states clearly that the life of any believer is meant to glorify truly our loving and creative God. Bearing fruit flows from abiding in Christ. Lastly, we have verses 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The word you used here is in the plural form. So these verses actually say, if you all abide in me and my words abide in you all, ask whatever you all wish and it will be done for you all. By this my Father is glorified, that you all bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. These verses ask us to consider what it means for us as a community to bear fruit. At the most basic level, we should have the Word of God live in us. We should be able to come to agreement about our wishes and plans. We should be able to pray together and for each other. And we should expect things to happen that are for the good of us all. We should also remember that branches do not live off their own fruit. The fruit is for someone else, which goes back to sharing God's love with those outside of our church community. And that fruit cannot be produced if the entity, that is, our church community, is not connected with the source of nourishment, the vine, Christ himself. We may initially resent God's pruning. It's painful work, but it is essential work. Without it, we will not be able to withstand the storms of life. So let us seek to bear fruit through abiding in Christ. Amen.